And now I invite you to turn in your pew Bible to Psalm 23, found on page 501. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir members. Beautiful again this morning. Here, our second scripture reading. We're continuing on in the book of 1 John, looking at what it means to belong to a community of the beloved, what it means to engage our world through love and action, Love is a theme throughout this whole book, so you'll keep hearing us talk about love and being beloved as we go through the next couple weeks here and close out our time in 1 John. Today's reading is from 1 John 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Whew. Strong. Remember last week, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Let's pray. God, our prayer this morning is that you would abide in us more fully, that we would sense the ways that you're calling us to love in the world, and that in doing so, our hearts would be affirmed, not condemned, that we would sense your reassurance in us as we live out love in this world. We know that when we do so, Lord, we are in you and you in us. So God, that is our prayer today. Amen. Okay, I love superheroes. You've probably heard that, right? Some of you maybe have heard that I like superheroes. So today on Earth Day, I'd like to introduce you to another superhero, or perhaps reintroduce some of you. I'm going to need a little help from my Generation X and Millennial friends in the room on this one. In the early 1990s, a new hero came on the scene to combat the evils of pollution and environmental destruction. Does anyone know his name? Captain Planet. That's right. Captain Planet had a team of kids, his Planeteers, who helped him fight against oil spills and big machines cutting down trees in the rainforests. This was Saturday morning cartoons at their best. Each Planeteer represented a fundamental element of the Earth. Friends, again, can you remember what they were? Water. Fire. Wind. But yes, air. And what did we see? An Earth. So Earth, fire, wind, water. But there was a fifth one. Heart. Okay. Each of these kids wore these power rings on their fingers. And when they came together, they said, they became like this, they brought their rings together and they said, with our powers combined, earth, fire, wind, water, and heart, Captain Planet would show up. So they could like conjure this guy up by their powers combined. I loved the show. If you can't tell. And in honestly, it had a strong dose of ridiculousness to it. The kind that comes from pushing the superhero theme just a little hard. But it had this awesome, it was an awesome cartoon show. And to this day, it reminds me of the ways that people can engage with the planet and with each other. They can engage in a way that it's not just about them, but there's something bigger going on. Captain Planet taught us that we could not solve problems of environmental disaster or pollution on our own. We needed to combine our powers, each of us bringing something elementally important to the table. And it wasn't just the powers of the earth that would make the difference. Earth, wind, fire, and water. They didn't cut it alone. You needed heart in order to make this happen, in order to get Captain Planet to show up to save the day. When we engage in the suffering and struggles of the world, it's foolish for us to run into them on our strength and experience alone. We need one another to make a difference, to make change happen on earth, whether it be for how we care for the environment or how we combat climate change or how we reach into the lives of people on the margins. Many hands not only make light work, but they make work possible and sustainable. Here's where I want to connect us with our scripture passage. Living in love and engaging our world, it requires something of us. In verse 17 today, we hear a strong warning to those who would access, who have access to the world's resources or financial means, but refuse to share with and love the world. How does love abide in someone who has the world's goods but refuses to help a brother or a sister in need? Put another way, put in Captain Planet language, you may have all the earth, wind, fire, and water in the world, but do you have the heart to engage people with it? Loving can be uncomfortable. Living in a relationship with others and experiencing the closeness of combining our shared gifts and resources is uncomfortable at times. It is, as one commentator that I read this week said, it's the kind of suffering that we would rather avoid. It's way easier to disengage, to not let ourselves be seen, or to take a stance at a distance from the problems of the world, rather than enter into the messiness of relationship and close engagement with others. But when we learn how to engage with one another, when we learn how to put all of those elements together, we, like Captain Planet's Planeteers, can actually rally and make a huge difference as a group that is united. We see that. Our powers combined. The way we speak of this in the church is that we become a community of the beloved. We gather together and combine all of the gifts that God has given us and become a thick, close, tight-knit community. We are able to leverage those gifts and amplify it, call forth goodness from each other, and make a huge difference in the world. Amen? Loving action can still be uncomfortable as we enter the problems of the world together. But when we connect and when we build relationships with each other and capitalize on those combined strengths, we can learn how to embrace the comfort or the discomfort with one another. We all don't need to be the hero ourselves. Go it alone. In fact, this is where things start to break down. When we start to think that we've got it all done alone and have to champion a project by ourselves or a cause out there on our own, we're missing an opportunity to mobilize others, to gain greater strength, a strength that we can find if we live together in the power of love. So all this talk about love that we've been doing in the last few weeks, and especially today, how love abides in us, it reminds me of another passage in the scriptures in the New Testament that is prolific about love. You hear this passage often in a marriage ceremony, 1 Corinthians 13. As we proceed, we want to consider what it means to invite others into love, to engage others in the work of caring for the earth and caring for the people of the earth. Love is something that encourages others to participate. It does not force it. It's not a clanging gong or a resounding cymbal. Love doesn't grandstand or pontificate or demean as a means to motivate others into action. 1 Corinthians 13 is famous for listing off the characteristics of love, but it first begins with this caution. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all of my possessions, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Just to make sure it's really clear what's going on here. What I want you to hear is this. It is easy to stand on a soapbox and tell people how that they should act. It's easy to scoff at someone who doesn't recycle or doesn't ride their bike or buys Starbucks coffee or whatnot. But folks, that's not love. Love, at the core, invites people to come close, to participate, to combine powers and resources to make a difference together. At the core of it all, many of us are so afraid to act, so afraid to engage the problems of the world because they seem so daunting. We're afraid that our little action is not going to be enough, and so we don't act at all. We don't think that our little element is going to matter. In a world that's aware of that, in a world where people struggle to have the confidence to engage these big questions and issues, I would tell you, friends, don't become a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Do what the rest of that passage says. Be patient. Be kind. Bring authoritative wisdom and presence that invites people in and says we can do this together. That turns away from the negative and seeks ways to let powers combine in truth and action. Today we need to hear the assurance that we find in this 1 John's passage. That we're not alone in trying to live out this care and love in the world. We all have fears, we all have doubts. But once again, we need to hear a word of encouragement and hope from the scriptures. Where our hearts are weak, we have the presence of Christ to take our intentions and carry us toward living in hope, living in love. Verse 17 scolded us if we hold on to the resources and yet do not love. And verse 18 immediately assures us that while we are afraid, we are with Christ. Verse 18 says, "Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him." This is a reassurance that Christ is with us, affirming and assuring us so that we might go and engage in the world. As we believe and learn to live in Christ, so our attitudes and actions are formed by Christ. Our hearts begin to change, and with them the characteristics of our decisions, the ways that we are motivated, what drives us to engage in the world, why we do what we do. It's very normal for each of us to say, "I can't do this. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, I'm afraid if I act, it's not going to make that much of a difference. I'm just a drop in the bucket. I can't change the world, so why should I try?" I think I can speak for all of us saying that we all do that in some ways. Not good enough. But the joy and the hope of today's teaching is this, that in our weakness, in our inability to love or inability to take the action that we think might make the world a better place, that might bring more of Christ's love to others, in that place of weakness, we are met. First and foremost, we are met by Christ himself, who makes up the difference for us. Our weakness alone is highlighted because it is an opportunity for us to then engage with Christ and engage with each other, to actually come close to one another and say, "I need you. I need you to help me live out the love that God is calling me to live." We practice this by sacrificing our lives for one another, as this passage tells us today. We give up our priorities for the needs of the poor, or for the earth, or for moments where we are called into action. We give up of ourselves. And doing this slowly but surely begins to reorient us, change us away from those weaknesses, change us away from those fears towards people who can say, yes, with confidence, my heart does not condemn me. I can live in love in all the ways that God has called me to. So remember, today is Earth Day. Today we remember the beauty of God's created world. Seek out ways to preserve it, to care for it, to make it better for all people. And we've heard stories from our congregation members of ways that people have found to engage that conversation on behalf of God's creation. And maybe you heard something today that felt inspiring, that felt provocative and interesting, and maybe a call to action for you. But maybe you also heard things that are difficult, or challenges that you're not sure you can rise to, or things that you've tried and have felt like you failed. Sacrifices that are too hard or too big. The call today is to come close to one another and say, will you help me engage in that? Can you do this with me? Because with our powers combined, I don't think a superhero is going to show up. But we as a community can make some big difference in the world together. We have a history here at St. James of being active in our world, whether it be through earth care projects or supporting things like Family Promise or engaging in the efforts of social justice in our community. And the only way we do that is by coming close with one another and combining all of the goodness that God has placed in each of us. Out of our self-doubt and our weakness, we still can love. We do so only through the power of Christ, the one who makes us what we are, the one who can form our hearts and strengthen our weaknesses and lift up our brokenness into a revolutionary, powerful way of living in the world. That's the invitation here today. Will you let Christ move in you and cause you to be able to engage in the world more fully? And will you do it together, here, with one another? Let's pray. God, out of our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses, out of our places of fear that we are not enough, I pray that today you would bring us into places where we can lean on one another, where we can first lean on you, who confirms our hearts, who stands with us, who lifts us up, and then leaning into one another in whom we see your face, that we might be the kind of people who could combine our powers in order to make great change in this city, this world. God, I ask your blessing on each of these people who've been called here today to worship, that you might send them out in a way that inspires and lifts up and strengthens the bonds of community with one another. We pray all this in your strong name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.